The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place that he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews are just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant he was taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came in, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." "Lord, I believe." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The primary text for today, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is the gospel lesson according to St. John 11. The title of the sermon is "Too Late, But Right on Time." This passage of Scripture, it is rich in both drama and spiritual truth, and indeed there are many lessons that we may learn from it. Jesus' friend, Lazarus, is sick and dying. But Jesus takes his time in arriving to see him. And in that time, Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha were confused as to why he waited so long, as they knew that the Lord could heal their brother. In spite of this, they both showed a resolute faith in Jesus as Christ, Christ, the very Son of God. While to human observation, God may not act right when we think he should, Jesus arrives on his divine schedule so that he may bring forth life through his word. Location, location, location. This is the fundamental truth of real estate. Because depending on where a property is, the importance of, thus the value of that property, can fluctuate greatly. It can vary greatly from property to property. For example, if you live in our fair city of commerce, one of the great things about this city is that it has affordable real estate. The very same style of homes, square footage, and all of this, it would cost probably twice as much on the other side of the county. Commerce has many beautiful old homes, some of them dating back to the 1800s, early 1900s. And that same home just down the road in Athens may cost a great deal more than it would here in Commerce. So location is very important. Well, location plays a very important role in our gospel text for today. First of all, the location of it in the scripture. Theologians divide the book of John really into two parts, almost in half by chapters. The first 11 books are called, excuse me, the first 11 chapters are called the book of signs. And then chapters 12 through 21 is called the book of passion. Now, the raising of Lazarus, as I just read to you, occurs in chapter 11. So this is at the very end of the book of signs and leads us into the book of the passion. Now, that book of signs, it contains seven miracles. Seven, remember, is an important number in the Bible. But it contains seven miracles, or what John calls signs, that point us to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And, of course, the raising of Lazarus, this is that seventh sign, that seventh miracle. And it is perhaps the most dramatic of those seven signs. and maybe the most dramatic miracle in the book, save the resurrection of our Lord Jesus himself. Which brings us to another fact about location, where this appears in our lectionary. This appears towards the end of Lent, right before the Sunday where we celebrate Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, and then begin into Passion Week, culminating with Jesus' death and his own resurrection. So it's very appropriate here that as we approach the end of Lent, we see a resurrection. We see life coming from death. As the location of this prepares us to remember our Lord's own death and resurrection. Now, what about Jesus' location when the text begins, when he receives the word that Lazarus is sick? Well, Jesus' location is not directly close to Lazarus. He and his 12 disciples, well, they are across the Jordan River in a region called Perea. So could he have made it to Lazarus before he died? Well, as I said, he was not in the immediate location, but he was about 18 miles away. So even on foot, if Jesus had left immediately and he was really booking it, he was really moving, he could have probably made the journey to Lazarus in one day. But the Bible tells us that he takes his time. Verse 6 told us, in fact, that he stayed in his location for 2 whole days before he departed for Bethany. And even when he does, he tells his disciples that they are going to go. They are a little bit apprehensive about going to Bethany because they remind Jesus that the persecution from the authorities has been increasing, that it's become more aggressive in their attempts to silence Jesus. So when Jesus tells them, in fact, that they will be going, because Bethany is very close to Jerusalem, we'll see, again, location, Thomas even says, let us also go, that we may die with him. They recognize the danger here. So Jesus sets out for Bethany. But even then, he doesn't rush right to the tomb. Because as he gets closer, Martha hurries out to meet him. And even when they meet, he still does not rush to the tomb of Lazarus. Because Martha has time to go back home, tell her sister Mary, who also then has time to go meet Jesus before he gets to the location of Lazarus' burial. So what do we make of all this? Is this coldness on the part of Jesus? Someone is sick and needs his help and he takes his time in getting there? Of course not. Well, to human observation, God may not act right when we think he should. Jesus arrives at the divinely appointed time so that he may bring life through his word. Jesus is in just the right location. Just the right location to show the glory of God through a dramatic miracle. Now, Mary and Martha, they are confused about what took Jesus so long. But nevertheless, they express faith in Jesus. Martha and Mary, they both tell Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But we also see a great confession of faith from Martha because she knows that her brother will rise again to life on the last day. And she confesses that Jesus is the Christ. A great lesson for us, and that even when things do not seem to be working out as we think they should, even if death comes to a loved one, we are to still trust God. We are to confess him as Lord and understand that if that loved one was in Christ, they will rise again. And that Jesus is the Christ. Well, when Mary arrives, she falls at Jesus' feet. And here we see one of the shortest verses in all of the Bible, but a very powerful verse. Verse 35, Jesus says, it tells us that Jesus wept. Now, why did he weep? He wept not for Lazarus, because he knows that he will soon be resurrected. He weeps at the sight of his two faithful disciples and those that have come to mourn, that they are in grief, particularly Mary and Martha, that they are in grief that they have lost a loved one. And they are attempting to understand how the Lord has allowed this to happen. Because to them, it looks like Jesus was too late, that he was in the wrong location, but he was actually right where he needed to be, and he arrived right on time. So when Jesus arrives at the tomb, which is a cave with a stone in front of it, that should sound familiar to you because Jesus was also buried in a like manner. When he gets there, even when Mary comes out, there is a crowd of people. Because funerals in first century Israel were big deals. They were very public affairs. There would be scores of mourners that gathered. Now, some of those that gather and they see Jesus weep, they say, "Wow, look at the compassion he had for this friend of his that died." But just as today, there are those that scoff. They question. Verse 37, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" they say. But Jesus is now in the divinely appointed location at the divinely appointed time. And he says, "Take away the stone." Now, even at this point, the thought of raising Lazarus from the dead, it is not in the mind of Mary. Perhaps she thinks that Jesus simply wanted to see his dead friend's body. But she protests when he says to open up the tomb. She says there will be an unpleasant odor, that stench of death and decay that will greet them. Now, I read from the ESV this morning, but I like how the King James translates it because it's in a way that we don't talk anymore, but it brings it home when it says, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days." Stinketh. Not a word we use too much today. So they are still not thinking about what Jesus is about to do here, that he is going to raise his friend from the dead. But perhaps, just perhaps, they should have been more ready for it. Because hadn't Jesus done this before? Hadn't he raised people from the dead before? In fact, the scripture records for us two other cases where he raised the dead. The son of the widow of Nain and the daughter of Jairus. Now, in the resurrection accounts where Jesus raises someone from the dead, in each one of these three, we see there is more of a dramatic buildup. And in all of these cases, he comforts people. He tells them to weep not. So the first one we have in the scripture, the raising of the son of the widow of Nain, there is a funeral procession going down the street. And Jesus, it seems, is just there when this happens, and he has compassion on this woman, and he raises her son from the dead. It, of course, is in God's timing and plan, but it seems very spontaneous. He sees this funeral procession, and he raises this son from the dead. But then we get to the case of Jairus' daughter. And there's a little bit more drama and buildup with this one. Because he receives word that this ruler's daughter is ill. But in this case, he doesn't go to the home right away. It's not 2 days, but there is somewhat of a delay. Because you may remember from the scripture, there is this woman with the issue of blood that approaches Jesus. And before he goes to Jairus' home, he heals this woman. And by the time he gets there, well, the 12-year-old girl is dead. But he goes in anyway. And to the astonishment of Jairus and the mourners, he tells all those gathered that phrase, weep not, because she says that she is only sleeping. And then he commands her to rise, and she does. So now we come to Bethany. And again, we see location and timing are important. As I said earlier, Jesus is reaching the end of his earthly ministry, this 3+ year period of his ministry. He is ready to approach Jerusalem for the final time. And in fact, the scripture tells us that Bethany is only 2 miles from Jerusalem, which is the center of Jewish life and the location of our Lord's own death and resurrection. Now, the Bible also tells us that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and that a huge crowd of mourners and onlookers had assembled. Now, there was a popular belief amongst the Jews of the time that when someone died, the spirit of that person would hover basically over the body for 3 days. But this is day 4. There is no question, there is no doubt about it that Lazarus is dead. He is very dead. He is dead as a doornail. So we don't really know that much about Lazarus. We know that he was from Bethany, that he was the brother of Mary and Martha. We know that he was a friend of Jesus. We also know from the scripture, if you continue to read on, that the Sanhedrin also wanted him dead after this miracle. But that's about it. But you know what? That's all that we need to know. Because what Lazarus did is not important to why he was raised. He had not done anything to warrant the grace of God. This is purely done out of the love, mercy, and power of God to show his glory, to show that he is the Son of God. This dead man is about to experience the life-giving power of the Word of God. So Jesus looks up to heaven. He's in a posture of prayer, and he speaks audibly to his Father. Now, he has been proclaiming throughout the Gospel of John that he is indeed the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh. And now he speaks to his Father, and he says that this will be a sign for all of those who are gathered to believe that he is who he says he is. So now we have reached that dramatic point. That dramatic point where Jesus will speak those words. The words leave Jesus' mouth, "Lazarus, come out." Or in some translations, "Lazarus, come forth." "Lazarus, come out." And he does. Those words of Jesus cut through the icy grip of death like a white-hot blade through soft powdered snow. This word, the word of God, the very same word that brought life at the beginning, they now breathe life into the decomposing corpse of Lazarus. Suddenly, from the blackened shadow of the tomb, appears a figure wrapped in cloth. And as he stood at the entrance of that tomb, his face and his body were covered in grave clothes. God has taken him by the hand and led him to the light. What a picture this is. What a picture we see before us with this, of Jesus speaking, the very word of God speaking, and life coming from death. Jesus leading from the darkness of death to life. Because that is what he has done for us. For those that believe, that have been called by his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we emerge from the tomb of death brought on by sin and emerge to life won by Jesus Christ. You see, the hour is coming. The hour is indeed coming when all those who are in their graves, they will hear His voice. And they will come forth to new life. The victory that Lazarus had over death, well, it was bad news for the devil. It was bad news for the undertaker. But if you think about it, this, in a physical sense, was only a temporary victory over death. Because even though Lazarus is raised to life, there will come a day when physical death will come for him again. But my friends, there is a day coming when death shall be no more. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And on that day of the resurrection, we exchange these vile, perishing bodies for incorruptible bodies that will no longer feel pain, disease, or death. The scripture from 1 Corinthians 15:54-55 proclaims, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The Apostle Paul is echoing those words from the Old Testament. It is speaking life to death. Where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The answer is they have been defeated in Jesus. For those of us who trust in Jesus, this body is but a chrysalis, which may become wrinkled and crusty with age, but it will be discarded as the new butterfly emerges, because the Word of God has brought us new life. By grace, through faith, we are saved and we pass from the death that has been brought by the condemnation of the law to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus has called us to live eternally. Through His death and resurrection, we are no longer dead to sin, but alive in Christ. As Jesus assures us in verses 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen."